I've got names on them, but if I ever get them mixed up, I know who it is if I say that the first thing. This conversation between Willis Hudlin and Walter Langford is being taped on June 23rd, 1982, in Willis's home in Little Rock. Get her going. Tell me first, Willis, about your boyhood and your start in baseball and how you got going in.
My boyhood was back in Wagner, Oklahoma. Yeah, and I was all sports, captain, basketball, football, baseball. Mm-hmm. We won a state tournament in about 1925. I pitched a perfect game on that particular tournament.
Great.
And the funny thing about it, I hit a home run and hit it into the lake over left field, but they wouldn't give me the three bases. I never have understood that one.
I don't either. Well, then from high school, did you get into semi-pro ball? Or
no, I went straight from high school to Waco, Texas. I was double A then, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
1926.
Boy, you went up fast.
With Cleveland before the end of the season.
Yeah, I stayed there. I joined them.
I've got names on them, but if I ever get them mixed up, I know who it is if I say that the first thing. This conversation between Willis Hudlin and Walter Langford is being taped on June 23rd, 1982, in Willis's home in Little Rock. Get her going. Tell me first, Willis, about your boyhood and your start in baseball and how you got going in.
My boyhood was back in Wagner, Oklahoma. Yeah, and I was all sports, captain, basketball, football, baseball. Mm-hmm. We won a state tournament in about 1925. I pitched a perfect game on that particular tournament.
Great.
And the funny thing about it, I hit a home run and hit it into the lake over left field, but they wouldn't give me the three bases. I never have understood that one.
I don't either. Well, then from high school, did you get into semi-pro ball or?
No, I went straight from high school to Waco, Texas. I was a double A in 1926.
Boy, you went up fast. Cleveland before the end of the season.
Yeah, I stayed there. I joined them for spring training. August the 5th, 1926, I joined the Cleveland Indians. Mm-hmm. And on and then on and on and on.
You remember your first game?
I sure do. It was against the St. Louis Browns. I was wild and scared. I shut them out about, I believe it was about four innings, and then they started unloading. Wild.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we wound up getting beat 11 to 6. Something like that.
Well, even so, the first one's got to be a thrill.
Yeah. Now, what about incidentally, my first game wasn't that same year. I beat the St. Louis Browns in the relief role. Mm-hmm. So that was the beginning.
Yep. All right. Then in 1927, you had a great year.
Yeah, I was. I think I won about 18 games that year. I was out 2 weeks. I got hit between the eyes of a line drive, and I was out about 2 weeks. I might have made 20.
You could very well have made 20.
I might have made 20.
All right. Now, while we're on managers, as we were a second ago, let's talk a little bit about your different managers. Speaker was your manager just that
Speaker one was the first manager in 1926, 1927, Jack McAllister.
Mm-hmm.
1928, I believe, was Roger Peckinpah.
Right. Then he went on to 33.
Steve O'Neill, Walter Johnson.
For part season, for one and a half season.
Yeah. And then?
Well, two and a half season.
Yeah.
Well, O'Neill came in sometime in the 35 season.
And then Oscar Vitt.
Yep. All right. Now, you didn't have too long a time to observe Speaker as a manager, but
no.
What did you see of him as a person and as a player?
Oh, he called me Oklahoma. And he's more like a father to me. First game I saw him, I saw from the grandstand, I said, that old gray-headed guy playing baseball.
He was still playing it.
Yeah. He's still doing a good job.
It was something that Connie Mack brought both Cobb and Speaker over together to finish off their time with him, and they did it in good style. Jack McAllister wasn't around too long.
He was the third base coach, and I guess I made a quick decision.
Yeah.
He was there.
How about Roger?
Second ball?
Yeah.
Good sound baseball man. I believe he was there probably the longest.
Yeah, well, when you were around, he was.
About 3 to 5 years.
33. Yeah.
Was he still playing that time?
Well, we got him from the White Sox. He was more or less a utility player, but when he came to Cleveland, he didn't play anymore.
Wasn't a player manager with
no.
You. And how about Walter Johnson?
Oh, there's a man. I never heard him use a cuss word.
I've heard that.
Never. My good gosh. Great man. He didn't have many horses to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland was always down when I was ready.
Yeah.
The infield, we never had an infield. Bud Roy Mack got there, and that was when I was on the downhill side.
Finished up.
Yeah. I was more less of a sinker ball pitcher, and I needed a good infield, but we never had it.
Hmm.
Never had it. When we got one, then I was gone.
Yeah. How about Steve O'Neill?
Steve O'Neill, good man, he was a fighter.
Yeah. He had been a great catcher,
yeah.
I'm sure. In fact, you had four really great players as manager, Speaker, Peckinpah, Johnson, and O'Neill.
Sure, yeah.
Now let's get around to Oscar Vitt.
He well, I think he's gone now, isn't he, deceased?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I'm sure he is.
Oh, he cared more about what the news media thought about him than his job. He wanted his publicity. He was from the ball club.
Now, you were only there briefly in the 40 season.
Yeah.
But before that, in his 2 years in 38 and 39, was there a gradual loss of respect among the players for Oscar?
Started before it came to a head.
Yeah, came to a big head in 40.
Yeah.
I think that if they had replaced him in the middle of the season with somebody decent, not that Vitt wasn't decent, but if you lost the respect of the team, you haven't got it.
That's right.
They could have won that pennant.
They had a good chance.
Yeah. They went to the last day and...
A bunch of good horses.
It was ironic that Johnny Allen, who had won 15-0, lost the last game to somebody they never heard of, Floyd Gebell.
West of Jake Wade, wasn't it?
It is
No.
Floyd Gebell.
Yeah.
2-0. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
What amazes me is that... see who was managing Detroit at that time. Why he would put in a rookie like that with one game, he'd won one previous game.
I guess you want to take a look at it, well, we can't beat Allen anyhow. But.
Well, that might be, but it was the last game of the season for the championship. And, let me find it. Here we are. And 40. Detroit wins by one game over Cleveland, and Del Baker was the manager. There must be either his staff was all used up or hurting or something, because he had names like Bobo, who had won 21-5, and Schoolboy, 16-3, and Tommy Bridges, Al Neuhauser, Al Benton. Way down the line, you find Floyd Gebell, 2-0. And he had a 1.00 ERA in those games.
He saw some?
He pitched two complete games, 18 innings, 14 hits. Yeah. He sure did. All right. Now, tell me a little bit and just your recollection and assessment of some of your teammates there. Was George Burns pretty well through by the time you got there?
Yes, but that particular year in 26, I believe he set a record that year for two base hits.
Yeah.
I believe that's right.
I don't think it stands now, but I remember.
No, at that time.
I remember it as the record because I was just a young fellow getting all hepped up over baseball and that. That impressed me.
Yeah, that short right field wall in the old park in Cleveland, old League Park.
Yeah.
He developed a habit of getting leading with his wrist, and he could scoot that thing off the right field as good as anybody. And sometimes he could have made third base on a number of times, but
he was looking for that record.
Not a good thing to say, but that's what it was.
Yeah. God, he had 64 of them. Is that possible?
He might have. He broke it.
Whoa. I'm going to turn this light on. I can get it here. Well,
that's possible.
May say 54. Let me get another look at it.
My speaker had 59, and he broke it. Or tied it that day, and I think he broke it.
It's 64, sure.
I guess he hit the sixes on the particular
I'm not even sure that's been broken. I'll have to check that out. About how many people did Old League Park seat?
About 23,000-25,000.
And did they have the what do they call the one they have now? The big stadium in Cleveland?
It came in 33.
It was finished before you left, yeah. You played some in both places.
Yeah,
some
yeah,
seasons.
Yeah, we go there on the weekend, big days and weekends.
Yeah,
the week of the other days we play at the Old League Park.
Were you around when they had, it seems to me they set a record that may still stand, something like 80,000 in there?
Well, they had 80,284 when they opened up that stadium. Grove beat Harder 1-2-0, something like that.
Yeah,
I believe that might be a record, I don't know.
Yeah, I thought
maybe they might have done better in the World Series.
It's possible.
Yeah.
And they had a hell of a crowd, I know, when Satchel Paige pitched his first complete game, starting. I saw him in Chicago on Comiskey Park a few days before in his first start for Cleveland. He beat the White Sox 5-0. Then he goes back to Cleveland a few days later and faces the White Sox again in a night game and beat them 1-0. And I think they had something around 80,000 that day.
Yeah.
All right. Joe Sewell.
Oh, that's quite a line. You know, he's a mean little devil.
Was he?
Yeah, he's mean.
I wouldn't have thought it.
Yeah, he's mean. Clean mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one year there, I think he struck out.
Yeah, it's like 7 or 8 times.
7 or 8 times a year, and then on one particular game, the White Sox had a left-hand pitcher through from here. I believe it was Caraway.
Pat Caraway.
A doggone, he didn't strike out twice in my ballgame.
Ooh,
oh, I tore him up. That tore him up.
Oh, boy. Wow.
I guess he's about as good a no-hitter as I ever saw. You tell him what's coming, he can hang you up some line drive.
This is
good hitter.
This is the year in 26. He struck out 7 times.
Yeah.
Gee,
then one day, Pat Caraway, ever get there. Boy, that made headlines all over the country.
Yeah.
He's a good contact man.
He must have been. Yeah. I'm going to see him next.
Well, oh, you are?
Yeah.
Little Joe.
Toward the end of this week, I guess it's Sunday, I get over to Tuscaloosa.
Tuscaloosa.
Yep.
Be sure to tell him howdy.
I sure will. I saw Mel Harder in Sun City. He sends regards to
him. Oh, yeah. Where is he, Sun City?
Sun City, Arizona. That's
Arizona?
Outside of Phoenix.
Oh, last I knew him is in Florida.
Well, he told me he and his wife were down there for a while, but they've been in Sun City for, I forget what he said, like 7 years or so.
Reminds Joe of this, you know, when I first broke in, I was wild.
Mm-hmm.
Joe was playing shortstop. G.D. Hudlin, strike somebody out once in a while, you get in trouble. Well, of course, if I could have struck somebody out, I wouldn't have been in trouble.
Been doing it, yeah.
Oh, you big old husky voice out there, strike somebody out once in a while, you get in trouble.
There's another one I'm going to see is George Uhle.
George Uhle?
Yeah.
Is he in Cleveland?
He's right outside Cleveland.
Yeah.
Bay Village.
Oh, what a curveball he had.
Really? He was there a long time and really hung up some good records. You had Lou Fonseca for a while.
Fonseca, yeah. He came over, I believe, from Cincinnati. He had one heck of a year, actually. He could hit that right field wall right
there. Yeah. And you also had, for a time, from the White Sox, Bibb Falk.
Bibb Falk? Bibb
Falk. He was a little, I guess, on the road down by the time he came over to Cleveland.
He had a few good years left. Another one we got from there, Bill Sissel. We got him over there.
And also Willie Cam. How was Earl Averill?
Earl Abel, he's one of the best sweep hitters I've ever seen. You know, a lot of hitters usually fit.
Yeah.
It's like you take a broom. I'm a broomstool. But he could whack that ball.
He sure could.
Yeah.
What about Wes Farrell?
One of the best short fused pitches I've ever seen. sometimes I've seen him get knocked out of the ball. The box, which didn't happen very often.
Yeah.
He'd take that glove and try to tear it apart, he'd bite it, and sometime he'd sail it into the stand. Oh,
Mel said the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of those.
Oh, he was a short.
Of course, those pitchers really hate to lose a game, don't they?
Oh, yeah. He used to spit one wonder in Lakeland, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was near Lakeland, I guess. We played golf one day. Someone beat him. Beat him out of court with me, probably $4 or $5. And he laid down on that green, dear Lord, I hope you kill me now. And if I die, my money is here in this pocket. Oh, he hated to lose.
Gee, at anything.
He'd get over it a little while.
Yeah.
Back to normal. Same thing with Clay Bridge and Diner.
Sure.
Coleman trips. That all you can do is Clay Bridge. He'd get beat out, someone draw out on it, he'd take a coin and he'd rip the card table on one end or another. He's gone now.
Yeah. Joe Vosnick.
Oh, what a hitter he was, he broke in. Good, sound hitter, I believe it. I guess it was late 20s he came in.
Yeah, it was about
What a hitter he was. He's always, he had bad legs. Always his legs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He full busted his legs so easy. Boy, what a hitter he was.
Yeah, he wasn't in the,
I think the late 20s or early 30s.
It was just in 1930, he got into 9 games. So that must have been his first year.
That's,
And Clint Brown.
Clint didn't do too well over there as a starter. He did best a year when he went to the White Sox as a relief pitcher.
Turned to relief
pitcher.
Oral Hildebrand was pretty good.
Oral, he came up a real good screwball and he was tough. Wasn't no power pitcher, he was a spot pitcher.
And Indians had Monty Pearson before.
That guy had a good arm as well. You want to see curveball. Never want to pitch. Never want to pitch. Oh, don't feel good. You put him out there, he can just about get you shut out.
That was somewhat rare in those days that people didn't want to get out and get at him. But nowadays, as Glenn Rice says, if they got a hangnail, they won't go out and play.
Back in those days, people. Baseball didn't make much money.
No.
It was good money in those days.
Yeah, that's right.
Baseball, but peanuts compared to now.
Oh, not even peanuts.
Yeah.
Al Trusky.
Oh, yeah, he could whack that wall.
He sure could.
And the right field, he had a whole bunch of home runs there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good hitter.
Yeah, I think he died just
Al was, he was rough in the league part, short of all, but when he got in that big stadium, and I guess that mental deal, all that wide open prairie out there,
caught up with it.
Yeah.
No, Johnny Allen.
Oh, he was a good pitcher.
He had to be.
Yeah.
But he was a lot like Farrell in wanting to win, wasn't he?
Oh, he's always wanted to win. Yeah, he was. Rough out him. He left out there. Boy, he challenged everybody. He's the first pitcher that I know that came up with a good hard slider. George Ewing. Well, go back. George Bladeholder used to be on St. Louis Brown.
That's right.
He used to throw the slider and didn't know what it was. To my knowledge, George Ewing came up with a slider and named it the slider. Bladeholder, to my knowledge, had it first, but he didn't have none.
Mm-hmm.
He just threw it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know what it is. One ball moves over, but didn't have a name.
Yeah.
But Yuli picked it up and he perfected it. He called it the slider.
Good enough.
Yeah.
Carl Hubble told me, I saw him in Phoenix, that people had thrown the screwball before his day, but it picked up the name screwball from some catcher he had that was catching and said, that's a screwy pitch, and so they called it screwball.
Yeah, back in He's called the fadeaway.
That's right.
Who was it?
Christy Mathis.
Fadeaway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I piddled around that, and I got it pretty good in the minor leagues, a short stay at Waco. I went to the major league, and they told me to quit throwing. It hurt my arm.
Well, it hurt my arm, though. With some pitchers, apparently it has, Hubble says. It never hurt his. I have read the contrary, that... in fact, a month ago, I read somebody quoting Hubble as saying that after every game he pitched, his arm hurt so bad he didn't think he'd live through the night. And I said, is that right, Carl? No way, he says. I never had a bad arm or a shoulder or anything all my life. That's just not true, he says.
No. I wish they never had to stop me from throwing it, but I had good luck with it. Technically, short time. I picked it up as a kid. In fact, I got it out of Christy Mathis' book, How to Throw It.
Copy that.
Wrote a little page, you order the mail, 25 cents. And I worked on that. My sister used to catch for me growing up in the backyard. I got to where I could. Well, I felt good.
Yeah.
And it was effective down there, but when I got up there, I didn't know what you're throwing out there. So.
Was that... Speaker or Peckinpah or who? Or the
speaker? Well, I guess it was probably came from one speaker he was there on.
Yeah.
Probably McAllister or Peckinpah. Mm-hmm.
They didn't really have, did they, pitching coaches?
Didn't have pitching coaches.
Yeah, that's right.
And some player on there was third base coach.
Uh-huh.
Now you load up with coaches.
Okay.
Pitching coach.
Yeah. How many seasons was a fellow there before you left the Indians?
Well, he broke in 36.
I think so. Yeah. Well, he had some pretty good years.
Oh, yeah.
Almost from the word go, huh?
He could throw the hardest, best curveball of anyone I ever seen.
Yeah.
Hardest and best.
Someone told me that, too.
Yeah.
And Kenny Keltner.
Yeah, he had quite a year there in Cleveland. Yeah. Getting almost in League Park.
Mm-hmm. The third baseman.
Yeah, third baseman.
Yeah.
What are you?
What kind of a character was Raleigh Hemsley?
I expect you heard about it, but just not like it was. Yeah, I don't think I can prove on that.
But he had some talent.
He sure did.
Yeah.
That's why they got him over Cleveland. The fella had an exhibition game with him one fall, someone maybe. Might have been the end of 36, 37 season. I don't remember what year he came over there. The fella like pitched to him, and Cleveland made a deal where he came over and he caught the fella all the time.
Now, who had been, let's see.
Well, it had Pitlack in there in those days.
Yeah.
Frankie Pitlack.
Frankie couldn't hit too much.
No.
Cleveland had... somebody named Eddie Phillips. I never heard of him.
Eddie Phillips, yeah, he was more or less a second stringer.
Yeah. Glenn Myatt was
there. Myatt was there. Luke Shaw was there.
Yeah. All right. What about Lou Boudreau?
Well, I didn't see too much of Lou. Well, I guess he came in about probably 39. What did it say there?
39? Yeah, let's just find out. 39. They had Skeeter Webb, short from 39. And 40, it was Lou Boudreau.
And Mack, Ray Mack.
Ray Mack, right.
There's when the good
thing, Keltner, finally got around to a good infield.
A good infield.
Yeah,
I was gone.
Uh-huh. Well. Roy Weatherly was pretty good.
Stormy Weather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and you had Ben Chapman out there.
Ben Chapman.
Yeah. Bo Bell.
Bo Bell, yeah. He had a great year over St. Louis. In fact, I think one year he led the league over there.
I think so.
Close.
Mm-hmm.
And he came over to us, but that was his best year. Good hitter, like the ball away from him, but the pitcher come over him. Jamming in here and once in a while go out there.
Yeah.
Caught up with it.
Willis, could you think of what was your best game in the majors with Cleveland?
Best game? I can tell you the one that stands out in my mind the most.
All right.
1927, I beat the Yankees 6-5 in 11 innings. In those days, they had bands out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the day that Lindbergh landed in Paris.
Oh, for goodness.
So to stop the game, set up in the band play. That's a memorable game.
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably wasn't the best, but beat the Yankees. 6-5, 11 innings. Dave Lindy landed in Paris. Sure, I think that was the latter part of May, 1927.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right.
I'll tell you, love, I used to get a lot of letters about. In August 27, Babe Ruth hit his 500th home run at Lee Park, Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many letters I've gotten. Won't know what kind of pitcher I was. They were Cleveland that long, and yet Babe Ruth hit 500 home runs off. They get the 500s and 500.
Yeah.
You didn't be stuck.
Good grief.
That's kind of crazy. That's
it is, yeah. Uh-huh. And can you think of any big disappointment you had in a game where maybe you thought you had them shut out or beaten or a near no-hitter and went down the drain?
Yeah. We get back in Boston when Jimmy Fox was over there.
Mm-hmm.
And two outs, ninth inning, we were leading by three runs. Doggone, we didn't have three consecutive errors from the third man out.
Good grief.
And load the damn bases, and Jimmy Fox hit a home run off of the other left field fence. That's all she wrote.
That's right. What year was that, you said?
I guess the late 30s.
Yeah.
When Fox was the most.
Yeah. Three straight errors, all in the infield?
All in the infield.
Yeah.
We had Chiggy in the field. Moved Jerome Jones, traded to New York, and then he
got
third base in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, a couple of tennis winners or something over there.
Yeah, well, he had good. He was in, Joe was in the 20 series.
Yeah,
with Cleveland.
Right out of New Orleans, I believe.
Yeah, right out of the minors.
Place Ray Chapman.
When Chapman got killed. I'm going to talk to Luke Sewell, too.
Luke, oh, you are? Is he in Akron now?
He's in Akron.
Yeah, he's my roommate for a long time.
And
Luke and Mel Harder.
Yeah, Mel mentioned that you two had roomed together for a long time.
Mel, is he getting big? Is he in pretty good shape?
Mel's in good shape. He's heavier than when he played, of course. Most people are. Not all of them, though. But he's solid and looks to be trim. Doesn't look fat at all. Like he was, I would say, one of the ones who looked, that I've seen, looked most vigorous. Larry French was another one.
Yeah.
He's he's 74 or 75. He's just a year older than I am. Lives in San Diego.
Yeah.
And my God, he looks like he could go out and pitch a pretty good game today. Really looks great. Hubble is in fairly bad shape because he had a little stroke about 5 years ago.
Oh,
yeah.
Can he maneuver around?
He can walk, but it's affected his left side a little bit, and he tells me that it bothers his balance. When he walks, he sometimes kind of weaves because he doesn't have perfect balance. Glenn Wright is 79 and he's in pretty good shape. He's thin. Charlie Graham looks good, but he's in failing health.
Yeah.
He's 80, he'll be 84 in August.
Yeah.
And Pinky Whitney looks good, but he's put on a good deal of weight. Joe Moore looks real good.
He does?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I'm seeing later, Billy Monroy says, does he say Rogel or Rogel?
Rogel.
Rogel.
Sure.
He's now, he was a city councilman and retired from that and went down to Florida, but my letter was forwarded to him and he says, well, it happens I won't be in Detroit all summer.
Yeah.
So you call councilman such and such and he'll give you a phone number where I'll be.
Yeah.
So I'll see him there. And,
yeah, he played on some good clubs in Detroit.
Oh, yes. And then I see Dutch Leonard in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and when I get back to California, I see Babe Herman, and maybe I hope I can get hold of Lefty Gomez. He's on the move. He's still working for Wilson Sporting Goods Company. Yeah, and
kind of hard that air conditioning a little bit.
All right. Toughest hitter for you to get out, Willis?
Well, I guess you start off with number one was Charlie Gehringer, then Cochran, and then Joe Cronin.
Is that right? Well,
who better than any
knew
what was coming. I bet they hit 500-600 of them.
They gave everybody some trouble. And was there any... anyone that you could consistently get out, one pretty good hitter that was easy for you to handle?
Well, Greenberg didn't bother me. Simmons didn't bother me.
I'll be darned. That's pretty good.
I'll tell you, that's a guarantee.
Yeah.
Say, first time up, you got him out.
Mm-hmm.
Made him look bad on that pitch.
Mm-hmm.
You better not throw that ball to him the next time up, because he's landlord. That way, that's the way hitters teach a pitcher how to pitch or how not to pitch.
Exactly.
Yeah. You learn by doing.
Which was the toughest team for you to beat?
Washington Senators.
Is that right?
I shut everybody out except them.
I'll be
that club was Bucky Harris or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
They had a hit and running club, and I don't like people running on me.
Yeah.
When you get up here, you know it's a hit and run club and you want to get rid of that ball quick.
Yeah.
And,
bound to bother you.
Yeah. When you hurry that motion, you lose your rhythm.
Yeah. And even your control.
Yeah.
You had a high ratio of shutouts to the total wins. One out of every, you had 31 shutouts according to this of 158 wins. That's one out of five. One out of five wins was a shutout. The only one I've noticed so far that's better than that was, and he brought it up himself, Larry French.
Yeah.
Won 197, but 40 of them were shutouts, which means that
how many shutouts
you had 31. He had 40 out of 197. If he had 40 out of 200, that'd be the same percentage.
Yeah.
And that's pretty high. I haven't got Carl. Yeah, I got Hubbles here somewhere. But tell me, who was the best in your time in the league? Who was the best right-handed hitter? Do you think? Not against you, but just in general.
I think you got to say Simmons.
Be hard to argue with that. You know. And what would you say is the best left-hander?
I think you got to go along with Gehringer.
Yeah. I have Hubbles here. He had 36 shutouts out of 253 wins, which isn't a good ratio. All right. Who was the best right-handed pitcher in your day there in the league?
Good that Bill Hardy, that Wes Farrell, you got Tommy Bridges.
Mm-hmm. Was Schoolboy as good as Bridges?
Oh, trying to flip a coin. Schoolboy had the best percentage.
Yeah.
But a game had to be won. I think I would
pick Bridges was tough.
Yeah.
What about Ted Lyons?
Ted Lyons, yeah, he's a real hot spot here.
Mm-hmm.
Good competitor, great competitor.
Yeah, yeah.
Pinpoint control. Yeah, you're going to have to put him in there. I'd overlook him.
Let's see who you would pick as the best left-handed pitcher.
Well, that's a pretty simple lefty rule.
Yeah, I'd have been surprised if you didn't say that.
Yeah, that's pretty simple.
Let's see if you could put together an all-star American League team during your years. Who do you think was the best first baseman? Who was the best second baseman? Shortstop. That's a little harder.
That's harder.
Yeah.
All of it has to be but I think you have to go with Cronin.
Yeah, I suppose so. For one thing, Cronin was around longer than Boudreau during your days.
Yeah.
And third base? Get a few names to think about. Here's Red Roth and Pinky Higgins and Kenny Keltner, Buddy Lewis of Washington, Marv Owen, Harland Clift, Bill Werber. Some of those pretty middle of the road. And Boudreau arrived at the end of the decade.
Yeah. I'd have been with him long enough to go with him.
Yeah. Let's go back a couple more years and see what I get here.
Luke Buchanan.
Still Roth and Owen and Jimmy Dykes. That's right. And Buddy Lewis, Odell Hale. Both.
Hale's gone now.
Mm-hmm. Bill Werber, Harland Clift, Pinky Higgins. They weren't a true standout lot, were they? Was Red Roth much of a third baseman?
Yeah, he's a third baseman.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is after the Roth. Of course, when you play on a good club like
that, it makes it a lot easier.
You fall in line.
Yeah. You go up when they go up.
Yeah.
What about three outfielders from your day?
Well,
you've got to have Ruth
in there.
Yeah. You've got
to have
Simmons
in there.
Yeah.
How about
Harry Howman?
Well, Harry, he was through, all right.
Was he?
Yeah. Although I pitched good 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Well, how about DiMaggio?
Well, you're going to have him in there.
Yeah. Somehow.
Running a lot of debates on those things.
Oh, yeah.
Different ball players.
You can't. It's
you have to take consideration about how many years you saw those guys.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Now, after 1941, you were out for a couple of years and then came back briefly in 44, huh?
Yeah. Well, in 40, last year there. In 41, I pitched out here at Little Rock. 42, I managed here at Little Rock. At the end of the 42 season, I went into service as a flying instructor.
Yeah.
And then I came back. I got out on account of my age, 38 and 40, 44. No, I still fly now. Well, somewhere along the middle of the year I got out.
Mm-hmm.
and I was doing pretty good here, a little pitching, I think. Bob Seed was manager then. Service. I'd pitch here and join the Browns
briefly. Yeah. All right, after 44, when you finished in the majors, what did you do then?
Come back here and was what, club owner and manager here.
Oh, really? I didn't know you had been the owner. Yeah. For a long time?
Oh, I bought in to them in, let's see, 44, I guess, 44. 44, 45, 46,
mm-hmm.
And I sold out and went to Jackson, Mississippi as club owner.
Aha!
And right there, and then the flood, an old tornado tore a ranch down.
True, it is.
Yazoo, Mississippi, and finished the season.
Mm-hmm.
And the next year, he went to Greenville, Mississippi, Montana. Then things got bad and I closed up and went traveling pitching, minor league pitching group in Detroit, 56
mm-hmm.
and 57, 8 miles pitching coach at Detroit.
Aha. Who was manager there then?
Jack Ty, Bill Norman, and Jimmy Dykes. And Jimmy Dykes came in and brought his own crew.
Yeah.
Then after that, I went 59 and got out of Detroit. I went to the Yankees as a scout and stayed with them for 15 years, which ended my baseball going in 74.
That brings you pretty close to the present.
When
did you, you wrote me on letterhead of Hudlin Construction Company.
Yeah.
When did you get into that?
Oh, I've been in that ever since I got out of minor leagues. I do that in the winter time.
Uh-huh.
I supervised in the winter time, but I had the foreman and the wife carry on year in year.
While you were off with baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's nice.
And now the interest rate is like it is. I still have two lots that I'm not building now because people can't afford it.
Sure as hell can't.
No, it's awful. Now, that's a negative little pile of everything. People want to buy, but they got to sell something.
That's the point.
We'll say $90,000 to $100,000 home. Your monthly payments depends. Of course, on how much you pay down, you'll make somewhere around $1,000 a month.
That's right.
Well, that's got to be paid. That's take-home money that's got to go there.
Exactly.
Well, you don't have that kind of money.
Not the young people that like to buy houses.
There's a big demand for houses, but people just staying where they are and they're remodeling.
Yeah.
If I wanted to get into the remodeling business now, I could do more work than I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like it. Actually, you get in the modern business, you don't know what you're going to find when you get out of the house. You don't know what the termites has done to that foundation.
It's true.
And people want a price out here. They want you to do it. That's so much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you quote them a price that protects you on what you might find out of that, too high.
Too high. Yeah. Are termites worse here than they would be in the Midwest?
Termites everywhere.
That's what I thought,
Termites. You walk out of Council Ground there, you step on a termite. You don't know it, but where you hit wood in the ground,
that's right.
2 weeks you got termites. You never see them.
Not until they've done their dirty work. All right.
And then my wife sells for faucets. Yeah, they've got to make a contract. You got to have a letter where you termite protected.
Mm-hmm.
Termite insurance costs you. Oh, it costs about $100 a year to get to start it. About $25-$30 a year from there.
After that,
it's not too bad. Maybe a couple $100 to start with.
Yeah. What was your best out pitch when you were in your better years?
A sinker ball.
Sinker ball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How good was your fastball?
Well, it was pretty good. That was my bread and butter pitch.
Yeah.
until I started losing it, and then I had to come up with some kind of a curveball. I never had much of a curveball to start with.
Yeah.
Nobody teaching, no pitching coaches.
That's right.
But I've always regretted that back in those days. As many pitchers would have been better pitchers if they had a pitching coach who could teach those things. Right. Yeah, you just go out and learn on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Look there. No, I'm not going to help him. He might get my job.
That's right.
George.
From the Arkansas Gazette of October 9th, 1955, says Babe Ruth didn't get much aid from Willis Hudlin back there in 1927 when he set the all-time season home run record of the major leagues at 60. The current issue of the Packard Sports Library gives a complete list of the Babe's home runs in that greatest of all his years, and Hudlin's name appears on it but one time. On September 13th, Cleveland right-hander yielded Ruth's 51st home run of the year. I'm going to skip a little. Hudlin wasn't a great benefactor of the Babe in any other season either, among the nine in which they were contemporaries on rival teams. Ruth got one round trip off Hudlin in 28, one in 29, and two in 31 for a total of five. The one that Hudlin gave up on August 11th, 1929 was number 500 in Ruth's collection of 714 Major League home runs, exclusive of World Series and exhibition games.